Ontario's rural communities and agri-food sector hold tremendous promise for driving economic growth for the entire province and all Ontarians. By distributing the economic development throughout the province, with infrastructure investment in roads, bridges, schools, broadband, energy, and healthcare, we can create new jobs in thriving communities, ease the strain on big city issues of transportation and housing, and most importantly, we can secure a sustainable food system that every Ontarian depends on. A thriving rural economy can spearhead growth for the entire province. Find out more at producingprosperity.ca.
Good afternoon, folks. It's the Agriculture Show, and thanks for listening in. This is episode number 230, and it is a compilation, a recording from the Outdoor Farm Show hosted by Mazik Seed Company. And we just talked about a whole good half dozen people and asked them a few questions. So today is October the 2nd, 2018. This show occurred on September 11th. Just getting around to compiling it. A lot of stuff here, be a few hiccups, but let's start. Stay locked in. We'll see you in a short bit. Here's our first interviewee at the Outdoor Farm Show in Woodstock.
So, all right, folks. So we're at the Outdoor Farm Show here in Woodstock, and an annual event. And thanks for listening in today. It's the Agriculture Show. This is September the 11th of 2018. I had the good luck today to sit down with a bunch of folks here at Mazik Seeds, and we're going to do our usual stuff and just kind of get to know them, what kind of music they like. And we'll find out what they do and find out what kind of causes they believe and just have a little chat for a bit. First guest is Dave Bouty. Did I said that right, Dave?
That's correct. Yeah, thank you.
Good stuff. Thanks, Dave. If you're going to listen to some music, what do you like? Do you like the country and western? What kind of a music guy are you?
To be quite honest, I like all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. I like easy listening. I like modern rock and roll. I enjoy the classic country sounds. I'm kind of a mood guy. A mood kind of guy.
Yeah. Are you a concert goer by any chance? Do you like to go to...
I rarely get to concerts. I probably probably have had a lot of opportunity to do so. It's just... to be really honest, I'm not really big into crowds.
Good point.
Yeah, it always seems to be... you line up and you line up and you line up and you crowd and bump and... it usually ends up to be a later night than you ever planned and all those things, so I avoid all that.
Well, there's some virtue in these little clubs. Sometimes them new and upcoming artists, if you're feeling adventurous. What town where do you live at?
So I live just outside of Chatham.
Yeah.
Chatham, Ontario, in a little village, just outside of a little village known as Jeanette's Creek.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a little farming community. It was a... based on small market gardeners of vegetables a generation ago. Now there's a fair bit of seed corn production there.
Yes.
And a couple of, one in particular, very large vegetable grower and production company there.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a typical, very active, productive part of Southern Ontario's farmland, farm belt.
It truly is. We're very, very blessed there in terms of soil types and access to water and... we're in a good spot.
Yeah, that's good to hear. And when you sit down, when the Bouty family sits down for a Christmas feast,
yeah,
how many are around the table, and who are all these people?
Well, so we have. That's a great question. I have three. Brenda and I, my wife and I, have three children, and their spouses are. My youngest has a girlfriend, and they're certainly there. And generally, we still live on the home farm, and my sisters, my siblings, I have four sisters, they're there with their spouses, and hopefully some of the grandkids and some of my cousins are there. It's a nice gathering. We generally have 25 or 30 folks there during the holidays.
So just barely fits a house.
That's exactly
now, right?
Right, yeah.
Any Christmas traditions? Do you like to go out and cut down the Christmas tree that day, or maybe you like to go skating?
Well, no, it depends a lot on the weather, right?
Yes.
We're quite active. Snowshoeing is always nice if there's snow cover. We generally, there's a couple of marshes that some of our farms are adjacent to and with dikes, so we'll walk the dike and see what activity
there is.
Oh,
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, it is. There's lots of things to do. We get outdoors if we can.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That sounds like a wonderful place to visit.
Yeah, it is.
Dave, tell us about what you do. Are you a rock climber by any chance? But tell us, what is it you do?
Well, yeah, so, of course, Brennan and I founded and own Mazek Seeds.
Yes.
And my pastime, my passion for my spare time is, believe it or not, farming.
So yeah. You're a real true farm operation.
Guy.
Yeah, I get it. Very nice to hear.
And then outside of that, you know, we travel, and probably half the time it's business travel, but we generally try and, you know, make some extended stays mm-hmm. and take advantage of our locations. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not really into sports or... you know, my time is pretty committed for the most part.
Well, you know, the good news is the majority of Canadians, Ontarians, are really fascinated by farm stuff. And there you are, running a seed company and farming in Chatham area, Jeanette's Creek. And there are a majority of our urban listeners who would just be fascinated to know that, you know, you have to put fertilizer, you have to plant the seed at a certain depth, all that kind of stuff. So you're really actually in a spot. You know, amongst our peer group here, it's pretty ordinary. You're a farmer, we're all farmers, but to our listeners, you have a great story to tell. And actually, we could probably move into that part of it. If someone walked in the door today and said, "What do you know about farming, Dave?" What would you tell them? Would you tell them that brown eggs don't necessarily come from brown chickens?
Well,
what would you tell them?
Well, I would. The first thing that's very evident and probably the most significant thing about agriculture is the amount that it's changed in a generation.
Mm.
You know, we're very heavily dependent on technology, and at the same time, we're dependent on capacity.
Mm.
You know, big consolidation of farms. I mean, when I was growing up, we had three farms on their family and about you know, a couple hundred acres. And today we're farming 27 farms, and with not a whole lot more people,
yeah,
but a lot of very large equipment. And so, you know, the capacity is there.
Yeah.
The unique thing that we do in terms of planting a crop, I would say our primary crop
mm-hmm.
Is hybrid seed corn.
Mm-hmm.
And so that production cycle is very unique, very different than almost every other crop, and that we are crossing in a cornfield, we are crossing two completely unrelated lines of corn
mm-hmm.
in order to result in having hybrid seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that process involves planting a specific female line, a female variety, we can call it, and but in that same field, every fifth row, so we plant four rows of a female parent, and the fifth row would be a different line, the
yeah.
male parent,
yep.
and we do that across the field.
Mm.
And when the female parent tassel starts to emerge, and that's the pollen-bearing part of the corn plant, before it sheds pollen, we remove the tassel. So the only pollen in that field is the hybrid parent.
Mm-hmm.
It pollinates the ear of the female.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly we've made our hybrid, and then we take that hybrid ear to harvest, dry it, and that's what we sell to growers for their crop the following year.
I think a lot of our listeners have probably heard of Mendel and his crossbreeding of peas.
That's right.
And so you are doing that same type of thing. You probably aided more and more by other really cool technologies as far as examining, you know, what kind of genetics are in these guys. But essentially, at some point, you do have to create the seed that we planted. And it's just like Mendel would have done with his peas. We'll take a little bit of selective breeding here, and ta-da!
That's exactly right. Corn. That's a great analogy. And there's other hybrid crops as well. But
right.
You know, that's our business. That's the crop I'm familiar with, and there's a lot of nuances and challenges associated with that, of course.
Yeah. Any spare time hobbies you like to do? You like farming. You don't have
I like
a,
farming.
You got a garden by chance,
well,
or
we
are you
have
growing?
A garden,
are you a big
sure.
pumpkin grower? Like, you know how those guys
yeah,
grow those?
Yeah, no, we don't do that. We have a pretty good sized garden. We
yeah.
grow tomatoes and cucumbers and, you know, things that are readily available in fresh market. But it's always nice to walk in the backyard
yeah.
and help yourself from your own toils.
Yeah.
So no, it's my wife's a really awesome cook. So
yeah.
We have a pretty broad menu, you know, we enjoy, and it's seasonal, depending on what's around us
what's
to enjoy
going
fresh.
On. Yeah. This is good news. I'm looking forward to having all the lovely guests here from Mazex and other fellow farmers. But I want to finish off, Dave, with a question. What are you doing in the next 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 20 years if you want to go that far?
Yeah, sure.
What are you doing in the next 2 hours?
Well, so I intend to stay here at the show and continue to thank our team, our staff, for the excellent job they do at this annual event. And really, it is a premier site here that we demonstrate our product to offer, for sure.
Yeah, it's a wonderful show, isn't it?
It's a great show.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy meeting customers and people that represent our brand in the market. So that's always nice to get, shake hands with neighboring farmers and folks from across the country. And then over the next few days, we'll be harvesting. We started harvesting our crop yesterday in Tilbury, Chatham area.
Hmm.
So that'll be ongoing for about 6 weeks. And, you know, in the next 5 years, I hope to slow down a little bit. you know, we've taken on a partner with a joint venture with Le Coop Fédéré and our company.
So okay, good.
We'll have an opportunity to maybe step back and spend a little more time on the farm.
Yeah.
Focus on that.
Okay.
Kids, you know, my kids are spread across the country, and you know,
it's not like you have a bunch of grandchildren. You got to keep up.
Well,
with.
I don't have grandchildren. I'm hoping on grandchildren. It's if kids, if you're listening.
Yeah.
But no, that's something we just have to wait for.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Life changed. I don't have grandchildren, but when those people that do, I say, wow, there was before and after, and it's quite amazing.
I'm looking
forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's good news. Well, Dave, I just want to thank you so much for sitting down with us today. It's the Agriculture Show here at CKMS Radio 102.7 and RadioWaterloo.ca. And just thanks for being a guest today. It's episode number 230. Episode 229. It will be episode 229. I better check. I'm going to say
that's
230.
Right.
I think it's 230.
Good.
I had one yesterday.
Yeah.
Dave, thanks so much for being a guest today and bringing some words to our listeners about agriculture in Ontario.
Nice to meet you, and thanks for sharing your passion. Thanks for your time.
All right. With that, folks, we'll be back. Let's play some music and a few things, and we'll be back with some more guests. Thanks so much for listening in.
That was great.
Hi, this is Nicola Thomas from Grand River Food Forestry. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook live video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
I'm Dave Piper from the North Dumfries Historical Preservation Society. What do I like about community radio? Well, I think it helps create an identity for the local community. And all communities have to have some and need some form of identity to appreciate what's going on around them.
So, let's start, Shane. We're going to start. Folks, we're at the Agriculture Show here today. We're at the Mazex Seed Display at the Outdoor Farm Show in Woodstock. Thanks for listening in. This will be episode number 230, I believe, and we just had a nice chat with Dave, and now I'm going to talk to Shane for a while. And Shane Yancey been a part of this group for some time. But first of all, Shane, tell us about your interest in music. I don't want to forget that. What kind of music do you like, Shane?
Oh, I like all kinds of music, but I grew up listening to bluegrass with my dad and my mom, so I still really like some bluegrass music. I like listening to Seldom Seen and, you know, Country Gentleman and some of the old bands, Ricky Skaggs. I still listen to a lot of bluegrass.
Do you have a chance to go to a concert? Do you like to maybe catch a show once in a while, a live show?
Yeah, I like to see live bluegrass is really something. So I don't get a chance to as much as I would like, but yeah. I have seen the odd show here over the years, and yeah, it's a good time.
I think in Cambridge, which is close to where I live, and yourself, I think, is so they have the Millrace Festival. Is that something that'd be up your interest? Like, it's mostly Celtic and stuff, but it's a lot of fiddles, it's a lot of banjos, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not bad, but I'm a true bluegrass guy.
True bluegrass,
yeah, you know, you go down into Kentucky or Tennessee or somewhere, and you go to a jam and you hear some real bluegrass. That's more my liking.
That sounds good. Tell us about yourself, Shane. Are you, when you sit down for a family Christmas feast at the Yancey house, how many people are sitting around the table when that happens? How many of is the immediate family, extended family? How many people show up for dinner?
Yeah, we're a pretty small group, actually. So, you know, it's our immediate family. My sister and my mom, and hopefully my nephews if they're around, and my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and their kids. So we try to mix a little bit of Ukrainian in with my mom's Danish background. And on the Yancey side, we're German Mennonites. So we get all kinds of fun food going on at Christmas time.
That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun to hang out at your place for sure.
Oh, yeah. We like to have fun. You got to have family time too, right?
Do you have any Christmas traditions with that mixed? Are you going out skating for the day, or are you, you know, playing a little game of hockey with the whole family? But any Christmas traditions for the Yancey family?
No, we pretty much just like to enjoy good food and company. We don't really get into, you know, we're getting old now. We get injured too easy. So.
Yeah, that can happen.
And I'm competitive,
too.
So if we started playing hockey, that could get dangerous.
Well, that's a good story. Tell us, Shane. What are you doing now? What are you working at? Business wise, we'll get into your hobbies a bit later. But what is your job title, and what do you do?
Yeah, I work for Mazek Seed, so I'm the national sales manager. I have. Really, it's a privilege to travel across Canada and talk to farmers, and I work with a lot of great people, and I get to see lots of countryside, so, you know, I really enjoy that. I've been kind of worked my way up through the sales ranks, and now I get to try and help the younger salespeople find their way as they become important members of the ag industry, so I really like that. And I've worked for Mazek, Dave and Brenda Bowdy, for 17 years, so it's been really good. Wow. I grew up farming down in Haldimand, so farming's always been in my blood. I grew up working on a small dairy farm for Tony Marshall, Spring Rock Farms, and probably still one of the best jobs I ever had.
Is Tony still milking cows, you think?
No, Tony's not, unfortunately, not with us anymore, but I learned a lot from that guy. I learned a lot from him.
Yeah. Well, that's quite a job. That national may suggest you're all over the country doing stuff.
Yep, and we're a Canadian-only company. You know, I think our company takes pride in being there for the Canadian farmers, and that's what we do. That's what we're good at, so we focus on Canada. And, yeah, like I said, it lets me see the whole country, and I really enjoy that.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Our jobs, everybody's job, pretty fascinating. They have different combinations of working in one spot or moving around, and yours is it's quite cool with the traveling a fair bit. One of the questions we like to ask our guests on the Agriculture Show is about agriculture, and we hope most of our urban listeners are learning a little bit about agriculture, and so I'd ask you, what do you know about agriculture you could tell just someone you met on the street? I suspect you might be able to pass along more of that than just that brown cows give brown milk or don't give brown milk. What would you tell people about agriculture? It's a wonderful industry. It's pretty amazing, don't you think? But what would you tell someone about agriculture?
Yeah, you know, I think I often get asked about farming. You know, most people refer to it as farming, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, I get asked a lot about questions about how we produce food and where does the food all go. And, you know, I like to tell them how many different uses there are for a soybean or a kernel of corn. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. Some folks don't understand that all the corn they see out in the countryside isn't sweet corn. So, you know, we have those kind of chats. And I just think it's important for people to understand that the farmers are really out there trying to produce food for the world, and they're good stewards of the land. I talk a fair bit about that because, you know, in today's world, I don't think we as an industry talk enough about how good we of stewards we are of the land for future generations, that's kind of being lost over the years. So I like to talk about things like that.
From the historical perspective and the social and the cultural changes. You know? Well, you'd be an interesting guy to talk to about such things because, the good news is that the majority of people really are kind of interested in agriculture. They're just really fascinated with what goes on. They're not swayed by particularly strong views either side of the spectrum. They're just curious what happens on the farm.
Yep, I agree. Yep. Yeah. And I like to talk about community too, right? I
mean, yeah.
When you get out away from the big city centers and you really get out into the rural areas where the farmers are still doing their thing day in and day out, there's a lot of community support there, and they band together when someone's in need and all those type of things. It's really nice to still see that.
Yeah. I'm afraid another question I'm going to ask you is what other things do you like doing? I already know ahead of time, so the dear listeners I can't pretend I don't know. But Shane, you had another interesting kind of hobby occupation over the years. Do you want to tell us? You might have other ones too, but I'm thinking about your experience race car driving. You want to tell us something else? Some of the other cool things you're doing, what you're learning from it?
Yeah, I've raced cars for a long time. I can remember when I was a young. Work on the farm all day, slugging hay bales, thought you were going to die, get in the van, head to the go-kart races on the weekend.
Die. I love it.
Yeah, it's racing and farming's been kind of going hand in hand for me for a long time. Both of them require a lot of hard work and dedication, and you gotta kind of dedicate yourself to something to be good at it.
Yep.
So I did that for a lot of years, and lots of good family memories there, lots of good friends.
Yeah.
And we still do a little bit today, even though I'm getting older. It takes me a little more to get in and out of the car.
It sounds like it's been really a great character builder and a nice change. You're not stuck into just one job mold or a personality description. You got some stuff going on. You're dealing with people. You got with a group of people, you got the car, which is you against the machine or some other, or the chorus against yourself. Very interesting combination of that.
Yeah, it's any type of, it doesn't really matter what sport you're going to do, but car racing, it's all about the team. Nobody can do it on their own, right?
Right.
And you have to learn a lot about respecting your competitors and, it's treating people right because you never know someday when you're going to need some help, right? So all that stuff, it's been a really awesome experience for me over the years, and I like to take my family along. My son loves it. He can change the tires and all kinds of stuff, so it's good.
Good stuff. We're just about done here, Shane. We got some more lovely guests to speak to and so on. I'd like to finish off with a question, and that is, what are you doing in the next 2 hours and 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months? 2 years, 20 years, if you want to go that far. What are you doing next 2 years?
Oh,
two
wow,
months?
Jeff.
Two days.
Jeff, that's
quite the
question.
2 hours,
Well, in the next 2 hours and 2 days, I'm going to be here at the farm show in Woodstock. I really like this show because I get to see a lot of the farmers I've dealt with over the years that I don't get a chance to see anymore, right? So it's really nice to have a chance to catch up with people and talk about our products, of course, and our company and all those things, but really visiting with the people that I've dealt with for 25 years, believe it or not, is really nice. And, we're working hard here the next 2 months because it's sale season. A lot of people don't understand that either. We sell seed now, from now till Christmas, to get ready for the spring, because between Christmas and spring, we got to deliver it and process it and get it in place and all that. So lots of that goes on till Christmas. And the next couple years, 10 years, 15 years, I'll probably be working in agriculture. That's just where I'm going to hang my hat.
Sounds like a great, good deal. So, with that, folks, I just want to, first of all, Shane, thanks for so much sitting down and talking to us today.
Thanks, Jeff.
And with that, folks, we'll come back shortly after some music and so on and have some more great guests. And thanks for listening in today to Agriculture Show, episode 230. See you in a short bit.
Hey, it's Steve Todd from Tavistock. You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo at 102.7 FM. You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network. Find it.
Hi.
Hello, this is the Tugboat of the Tugboat.ca. Community Radio CKMS is the voice of the people, by the people. I support CKMS 102.7 RadioWaterloo.ca because it's the real deal.
Well, good afternoon, folks. Thanks for listening in today's Agriculture Show. And I'm sitting down here in Woodstock at the Outdoor Farm Show, being hosted by Mazex Seeds. And just a lovely day. It's not hot. The skies are clearing. I'm sitting with Steve Denise, and we're going to talk a little bit about agriculture and all that good stuff, as you come to know from our show. And first of all, Steve, I think I've asked you before about music. What kind of music do you like to listen to? What would you... What do you like to have on your own personal music player?
So, Jeff, I listen to a lot of upbeat stuff, so that keeps my mood good and positive. So I listen to, like, U2 would be my all-time favorite group, and I love listening to them. And Rush, you know, from a Canadian perspective, and so I like a lot of rock and roll, and I listen to a lot of 80s music from when I was at university still, so but it's mostly upbeat stuff.
You have a chance to go to a concert. Are you either, do you like going to big knockdown concerts, or do you like to go to a little corner bar and hear some up and coming? What artists, what do you like to hear?
Jeff, my son and I, because my son is 19 now, and so what we've done is we tend to go to bigger concerts of the groups we really like. So yes. Last year we were at U2 and Coldplay, they were. So we have a lot of fun at those concerts.
Yeah,
so
that's good news.
You'll get a, I'll call a real fast story. So you'll get a laugh out of this. At a U2 concert, this gal sits down beside me, who I had no clue she was, and she said, she says, I'm just going to forewarn you. She says, you know, I'm a dancer. So she says, I'm going to be up most of the night. And she goes, do you have my back? And I said, yes, I've got your back. And so as the night went on, you know, like, I was a U2 fan, so I liked all their music, and she knew some of it, but not all of it. So my son and I were upstanding for most of the concert, and we were having fun. And at the end of the concert, she leaned over, and I said, thanks very much for, you know, it was fun sitting beside you. And she says, Steve, I think I had your back more than you had mine. So anyway.
That's a good story. Yeah. I'm glad you thought to mention it. We're at the Outdoor Farm Show, and Steve, tell us, first of all, I want to ask you, when you sit down for a family Christmas feast, for example, or an Easter picnic, how big is the Denise family that shows up to that? Let's get to know you a little bit through that way.
So my own family, we've got three children. My wife and I have three kids, and so they range from 24 down to 17, and then my sister, if they're in town, they've got three kids, and an age down to about 12 now, 12, 13, and my parents and my brother. So that's the family usually that sits down. And hopefully my father-in-law comes down from Goderich, so he's by himself. My mother-in-law passed away, so if he's down, that's our party size. So not overly big.
Do you have a Christmas tradition you like to do? Do you like to go skating, or maybe go look at the local Christmas tree display? Anything like that you guys like to do when you sit down for Christmas?
We probably talk more than anything. So we used to go out and see the light displays around town.
Okay, yeah.
And we went to Goderich, where my wife's from, and we would go up there for Christmas. And so that was a must, is we'd go around town to see the light displays for sure. So
sounds like a wonderful little tradition.
Yes.
And a house full of people, and a Merry Christmas, and away we go.
Yes, yeah.
And tell us now, what do you do? You're here today at the Outdoor Farm Show, as I started out before. In what capacity are you here today? Tell us about your work.
So my role with Mazex is Director of Business Management, so I oversee all the sales and marketing and product and commercialization for Canada. And so the Outdoor Farm Show for me is probably one of the best shows in Canada, I'd say North America. For seed companies, not just ours but others, the Outdoor Farm Show, we've got plots here where we can show our customers, or people that we want to be customers, we can show them the corn and soybean varieties that we're growing. And so this is one of the only shows where you can do that. And so for me, you get people here. I was just talking to some folks from Quebec, and I'll see people from Ontario, you know, from the Maritimes, you know, once in a while some people from the West. And so these for me, you know, is I guess you could say an executive in the company, but this show is really important to me because it's a couple of days where I can sit down and talk to people from across the board
and
see what's going on, you know.
You're kind of stuck in the office and not making the connection as you always had people and
customers. And I farm as well down near Chatham, so for me it's a good chance to compare notes and as farmers, we always, you know, as farmers, we one of the rights we have as farmers is to not only look at the positive, but also to whine a lot, so we can commiserate on what we see in the field. So
I'm going to take a moment myself and tell you a joke I heard. What's the difference between a farmer out in the rain and a dog out in the rain?
No, what?
When the dog gets inside, he quits whining.
Well, that's,
yeah. Of course, you can use this for any.
I like
to tell my trucker friends the same thing.
I've had somebody ask me before, and they said, you know, why do you farm? And I said, well, if I didn't farm, I couldn't whine, so that's why.
Well, it sounds like you have a good, nice, lighthearted nature towards your job and what you're trying to do. And to further that end, we hope our urban listeners are listening in and picking up on some stuff. What would you tell a non-farm person about agriculture? Would you probably clear up the fact that it doesn't, just because it's a brown cow doesn't make brown milk?
Yeah, there's a lot. So we've spent some time at Mazix, and we started an initiative here a couple of years ago called Be Rooted, Be Involved. And the initiative was all around giving some basic information to farmers so that they can communicate with people that aren't from the farm.
Oh, that's a great call. That's a great thing.
Yeah, and it's you know, the biggest issue we've got as farmers today, to me, the biggest challenge we have is that, you know, 100 years ago, 40% of our population farmed, and mm-hmm. the other 60% didn't, but most of the 60% knew somebody that did farm in their family. Yeah. And today we're down to 1%, 2%, you know, 1% that actually farms. And so a good chunk of the population, particularly in our bigger urban centers, when we talk about Toronto or Montreal, but even cities like Chatham, which isn't that big where I'm from, and there's a lot of people that have no idea what it takes to produce food. And so a lot of questions come up about that, and there's some well-meaning folks out there with different groups that ring the alarm bells on things and sometimes take advantage of the situation to help with fundraising. But, you know, at the end of the day, they've got an ideology and they're well-intentioned. But we need to educate people on what it actually takes to produce food.
Mm-hmm.
And what I don't think, Jeff, people realize today is that our food supply that we have, if you compare it to any point in the history of mankind, doesn't matter when, it's the safest food supply we've ever produced.
Well, it's definitely a modern miracle. If you want to look at a modern miracle, agriculture's got to be the definition.
We were talking the other day, so I'm in my early 50s, and if we go back 100 years ago, I was the average age, the lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And today, you know, people live into the average age span is into the late 70s, early 80s, and most people will say it's healthcare, but the number one reason is actually that we have a supply of fresh fruit and vegetables year-round. And so our diet is better, and that comes back to the way we're producing food today. So.
Mm-hmm. Well put. And so that, but in that capacity, I guess it doesn't, it sits well to sit down and talk about agriculture with our public through the radio. So I want to really thank you for taking that brave step and talking a little bit about the public and what we can tell you and what we are more than glad to answer your questions.
Well, and every day there's a news story, and usually, you know, if we could sit down with every person individually and tell the story, you know, we probably have a much better image in terms of some of the things that we're doing on the farm and mm-hmm. the reasons why we're doing it, but it's tough to do that. Mm-hmm. And so for farmers, the challenge we put out there is across the industry is, you know, as farmers, we need to do a better job of telling our story
mm-hmm.
and explaining to our friends and neighbors and people that don't come from the farm what we're doing and why and how that leads to safe food supply. And really, a lot of the practices we do today, it's to make sure that we've got a, you know, we're good environmental stewards as we go forward. So
yeah, that's good point. I'm glad you took a moment to do that. And, of course, you got your work, and now your passion is to help get the message of agriculture. Any other hobbies on your plate? Are you building a corn maze this year? Or?
No, I wish between the day job, my hobby, I would have to say probably two hobbies. So the one is the farm, which is really, it's a big business, but the farm is my hobby. That's my passion.
Yeah.
So when I'm at home, you know, I'll take time to plant and harvest the crop and look after the crop. And so like this last weekend, I'll take a couple of hours, and some people will probably go out golfing and do some other things or fishing. And I like to walk into my cornfield and see how the corn looks. So that, and then my other hobby I would say is, I was a basketball player and our kids are older now, but we chased our kids playing sports or dance with my oldest and that took up a lot of time, and we really love doing it. So we still chase. My daughter plays basketball, and we do that. So,
sounds like a great time.
We're
doing pretty good here. I'm just going with my mental checklist. Do we want to talk a little bit about what's happening with the company?
Yeah.
I don't want to lose a thought, but President Dave Bowdy was in one of our first guests, and maybe you want to follow up on something he mentioned about
where the company's going. You're going to hook up with a Quebec company, I understand.
Yeah. Go ahead. So Mazex, Jeff, has been in business for 33 years and a family-owned seed corn business that grew from having zero market share to today. We came into this year and finished this year being the fourth largest in Canada. And so with that, we've had lots of growth. We've put together an awesome team right across the country. And so anyway, Dave and Brenda, our owners, were looking for a transition plan because the next generation wasn't interested in pursuing the business. And so started looking at partners in the marketplace. And one of the partnership that we found was going to be the best fit for not only our customers, but really for farmers across the country, was to partner with a company called La Coop Fédérée out of Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a farmer-owned business owned by farmers own the business, and they are the second largest now agribusiness in Canada. And they had a brand in Canada, the Elite brand,
right,
which some farmers would recognize from corn and soybeans. And they were looking to grow their seed business and to partner up with somebody that could grow seed corn production capacity in Canada,
mm-hmm,
which is what Mazex had and we're very good at. And so we formed a joint venture partnership. And with that, they've taken some shares in Mazex. And we will be now marketing, Mazex will be marketing both the Mazex and Elite brands right across Canada.
Yeah.
And so for farmers, what it means is that we're keeping... we have a large, with a company with a scale to compete into the future, but a farmer-owned business in Canada. And one of the things we're most proud of is that our business is focused on Canada and the needs of farmers.
Yeah.
Sounds
like one of the last questions I asked, what you're doing in the future. Well, hopefully you'll mention that and we'll let you finish off the show with an interesting question.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna ask you to do something for me for a favor here, and you've done this before. This is a little promo for our station.
Sure.
Do you want to have a quick look at that? And I'll just remind the readers where we are and what's going on. We're at the Outdoor Farm Show here in Woodstock. It's September 11th, Tuesday, the first day, and we're being hosted by the Mazex Seed Company, and we are doing a series of broadcasts with all the people from Mazex. And Steve Denise is my guest right now, and hopefully I give Steve enough time to look this over, and he'll do a little promo for us so we can hear his voice. We've been updated since last time. We have a new frequency and the like, and so he did a very kind one for me before, and be so kind as to read that off.
Sure.
Very much appreciate it. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Steve Denise with Mazex Seeds and outside of Chatham, Ontario, and I farm outside of Chatham as well. And this is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 and on the Rogers Digital Network at 946 and on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture, and The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo, and our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society. And I'll add in support to the WFA for their efforts in supporting your show, Jeff, and to say you do an awesome job and keep it up.
Well, thanks for saying that. And you know, without guests like yourself, it just wouldn't be the same to have bring along the message of agriculture to our listeners. And so thanks for saying that, and thanks for being a guest on the show here.
Very good.
My last question before we get out of here, what are you doing in the next 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years? 20 years if you want to go that far.
Oh.
What do you do next 2 hours and 2 days?
So the next 2 hours, I'll be here at the show, so I'm looking forward to talking with our customers and everybody else in agriculture that stops by, some that I know and some that I'll meet. Next 2 days, we'll probably be here for the most part, but then getting into meetings outside. And,
yeah.
And the next 2 weeks, we are, we've got a number of meetings on the business front, but then on the farm, I'm going to start getting ready for harvest.
Oh, my gosh.
So that'll be the next thing, and my daughter's basketball league starts, so we'll watch her a bit. 2 months, as I'm hoping 2 months from now, Jeff, I'm in the corn harvest, and it's going really well. So, and the next 2 years is, the goal is to, to continue to support our team here at Mazex and grow the business, and also spend some time with my family. and enjoy what I like to do, which is farming and agriculture. And 20 years from now, man, I hope I'm still farming. That would be awesome if I could still be farming 20 years from now.
Well, thanks for saying that, Stephen. You've been just a wonderful guest, and thanks again for being on the Agriculture Show.
Very good. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, we're going back to some more music and a few other little stuff, and then we'll be back with some more guests today. And once again, thanks for listening in episode number 230 of the Agriculture Show here at CKMS Radio 102.7. See you later.
Hi, I'm Jim Dyer from Cambridge. You are listening to Community Radio CKMS Radio Waterloo. Now live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, in addition to Rogers Digital Network at 946, and on internet at soundfm.ca. Community Radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. One such CKMS program is the Agriculture Show, brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Hi, you're listening to the Agricultural Show on Sound FM 102.7, CKMS.
All right, folks, thanks for listening in today. It's the Agriculture Show. We're at episode number 230, and I'm sitting here at the Outdoor Farm Show at the Mazex tent, and they very kindly hosted the Agriculture Show today for interviewing a handful or so of people that are involved in agriculture and have a message about agriculture to the public. And So, great show. It's September 11th, and I'm sitting here with Adam Parker. And Adam, I'd like to start off to get to know you a little bit. What kind of music do you like? Are you a country and western guy? What do you like going to?
So, I guess country would be my go-to, although I do like some alt rock and some of the old oldies from the 70s. Yeah. Nothing too specific, but I like some diversity.
Are you a concert goer? Do you like to hit the bars or the big venues?
I've been to a couple concerts, but generally not a huge concert fan.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not a fan, just generally.
How do you fit it in?
Tend to find the time, hard to find the time to do that. So.
I know. Well, where's your home at? Do you live in southern Ontario, I guess?
Yes, I live on a farm just outside of Guelph, Ontario. I have some beef cattle and sheep and cropping to go along with those. So. Mm-hmm. Fairly diverse farm with lots of livestock. So.
In the Parker family, what happens at Christmas time? Do you all sit down? How many of there are you at the Parker family Christmas feast?
Everybody's expected to be there.
And yeah.
It's usually always a good turnout. But the turkey and potatoes and all the fixings, that's is generally a pretty traditional meal at the Parker household.
So. Nice. How many people are there?
Oh, I would say there'd be 15, yeah. 18, I think. It's the next generation's coming on,
yeah.
So there seems to be a few more little ones running around now. So.
Any good traditions with that? Do you like to go skating that day? Or?
Generally, it's just that time of year. We're in the house just being social and telling stories and all those kind of fun things. It's we don't get together too often, so it's fun just to kind of get caught up and reminisce a little bit. So.
Good stuff. And today we're at the Mazex display. There's numerous vendors and all kinds of stuff going on here. You want to tell us, you're with Mazex. What do you do with Mazex Seeds?
So I'm a territory manager with Mazex Seeds, covering the northern region of southwestern Ontario, so primarily everything north of Highway 8, so Wellington County, Waterloo County,
yeah.
Up to Perth, then Huron, Bruce, Grey County, Dufferin, and Simcoe. So it's a large swath across that area. So my role entails supporting our seed sales and the dealers that sell our seed for us. So whether it's sales support or agronomy support, and also just training them on agronomy and our products to help our customers do better on their farms.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's a full plate you have there.
Yes, it is. As the seasons continue, things change, whether it's from planting to crop protection to now we're getting into harvest end of things. So we're doing some evaluations and different things like that. So, it's always a changing pace. And then generally in the winter time, we spend a lot of time trying to educate and, you know, comb through what we did this year and what worked and what didn't, and see if we can maybe make a few things that we can learn better and do differently next year. So.
Yeah. It's a full, you can certainly fill up a year pretty quick. Never mind the immediate jobs, but all the prep and then anticipation for the next.
Yeah, it's farmers always always seem to be complaining about the weather. But the seasons do fly by.
Yeah. Hold that. We got a little bit of breeze. Nice day today, folks, at the Outdoor Farm Show here. It's September 11th. It's wet yesterday, Monday, today. Cold and cloudy this morning, and now the sun has broken through, but we have very nice temperatures, I think.
It's very comfortable out here. It's starting to feel a lot like fall.
You know, just for heck of it, just occurred to me, for our urban listeners, how would you describe the crop this year? It looks okay.
On a whole, we had a relatively decent spring. It was a little slow starting. We went from some cold weather in April.
Yes.
So generally, we want some warm, dry weather to get guys into the field and girls into the field early, so that the earlier we can get our crops established, the higher potential that we can have. So we were a little delayed. A lot of crops didn't get going in the ground until about the 10th of May. And then we had a few spotty showers, but then come towards the end of May and then right through till about July, it was relatively hot and dry, which was good for crop establishment. So things got going well. Things looked really good. But it got to the point where we were getting to the point that we were droughty. So some areas, especially on some ground that's more gravelly, that doesn't hold water as well, did start to turn back a little bit. On a whole, I would say that we caught some of those rains towards the middle of July, and things were able to kind of get over it. There were a few areas that were maybe a little bit hampered, but on a whole, things look pretty respectable. Through the end of July there, we had put on a big initiative with Mazex and Farms.com to go and evaluate a bunch of cornfields and soybean fields around the province. And on average, when we were doing some of these yield estimates, trying to see potentially how much yield would be in these fields, the numbers that we were coming back with were well above average.
Mm-hmm.
So on a whole, I think we're in really good shape. And as far as maturity or development, we're probably a week ahead of schedule.
Okay.
So last year, a lot of guys would have not even been considering doing any harvest yet. I know there's a lot of guys that will be probably starting to do some silage harvesting towards the end of the week. So
that's a good synopsis. I think a lot of our urban listeners would be really fascinated just by the day to day and moment by moment of agriculture. So I think glad that you could pass along that. Things seem to have recovered to an acceptable level, and looks like it's going to be okay.
It's always a fine line between too much and too little, so that's why farmers always gripe about the weather. So,
well, not too many professions where it's so critical what happens out the front door.
It's a variable that we cannot control. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my goodness, it's a lot of work. What else would you tell people about agriculture? I guess I'm going to segue into the next question is. You know, people do want interest in agriculture. Do you find that most people are just have a real serious axe to grind, or they're just curious about agriculture?
Oh, I think people are generally curious. I would think what I would comment on is trying to be well-informed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times in agriculture, there can be some misconceptions, whether it's with intensive agriculture or whether it's genetically modified products that we use. I would generally, without going into a lot of detail, say that all these things that we use cost money, but we use them for a reason, and it's to better produce products for quality, but also more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't use them where a lot of times we're family farms. Our fathers, our sons, our daughters are using these crops or these animals or these chemicals. We wouldn't use them if we wouldn't feel that they're safe.
Yeah.
And like I said, generally we're using them for a reason, and it's to promote quality, efficiency, and improve our yields at the end of the day, because it tends to be that there's more people in the world every day, and they all need something to eat. So
if you're going to give some of our listeners some good sources, if they had time to go on the net and look at, are there any interesting favorite spots you like to on your own internet searchers do you like to check out? Is it Top Farmer magazine? Is it Country Guide?
There's a number of articles.
Commodity groups. So whether just give our listeners an idea of maybe a couple or three.
So for cropping, one would be there's an organization called the Grain Farmers of Ontario, and they are an advocacy group for grain farmers in a number of different crop sectors. They have a lot of good resources on their website that talk about whether it's GMOs or pesticides or
good
things like that.
Yep.
I would just generally try and get people to look for scholarly articles that are, you know, good science that allows for critical thinking. Mm-hmm. I think it's always good to engage with farmers. We are a kind of minority of the population, but we're always open and receptive. And again, just have an open mind and ask questions, and we're always happy to talk to people. So
that's true. As farmers, you know, one of our things I like to tell our listeners is that, you know, if you ate today, thank a farmer. But farmers need to remember to also thank a consumer.
Yeah, so absolutely. Without you, we wouldn't have a business. It's a two-way street. So
yeah. Well, that's good. Good advice on your part. What's going on? Any other hobbies in your back pocket? You don't happen to be like climbing rocks in some big Appalachian hillside or something, are you?
No, me and my wife, we do enjoy some camping and some outdoorsy. We're definitely outdoorsy, whether it's canoeing or stuff like that. So we actually the last 16 months we've actually been to the Yukon and to the Northwest Territories. So that was some interesting stuff. So
that would be pretty cool. A lot of Canadians should travel to their own country, eh? What do you think?
Yeah, and I was just out in Edmonton 2 weeks ago looking at some crops out there. It's although we're still in Canada, it's a totally different environment out there. So they were struggling to, they already had some frost, say 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
So most of our crops are annual crops, so they don't tolerate frost. So when they get frost that early, it can hamper their yields. But some of the things that we have with living in such a northern climate. So.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd give it. I really had a lot of fun doing your stuff and having a chance to get out and do things with family, and whether it's Christmas or traveling, that sort of thing. Great stories about agriculture. I'm glad that for the public to feel free to ask farmers what's going on. They're more than glad to usually talk about their craft. Not like most people, don't even need to get beat over the head, but they can certainly answer a nice question.
No, that's what we're here for. We're all citizens and in a community. It's about partying, about being involved with one another. So
yeah, we have a fine view here, I think, Adam. We got the corn and soybeans in front of us and the tent and the beautiful day. And I think I just saw a butterfly go by.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Just in finishing off our little interview here, unless there's something else you want to add to, anything else come to mind you might want to add to? I don't want to cut off too soon.
Oh, it's agriculture is a diverse industry, whether mm-hmm. it's with vegetable production or livestock production or crop production. It's not old McDonald's farm anymore. It doesn't necessarily exist anymore. There's a lot of specification and intensification to deal with what we're competing with on a global scale. So it's trying to be informed is about the best thing we can be doing. So,
thanks for that little bit there. I'll finish off with a question for you, sir. What are you doing in the next 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years? You want to go that far.
Well,
what are you doing next 2 hours and 2 days?
Well, the next 2 hours, I'm going to be hanging around the farm show here. I've got a bunch of customers and coming by, so I'll be showing them some of our products here and what some of the odds and ends that we've been doing, which are kind of unique. 2 days, we will be into some silage harvest. So that's where we're chopping corn, whole corn plants to be fed to beef and dairy cattle. That's what they'll be eating for the rest of the year, so that's that time of year. 2 weeks, we'll be into soybean harvest, so that's where we'll be combining
and
harvesting soybeans.
Wow.
And those will be used for anything from feed to oil for your vegetable oils.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, well, that's maybe a little, maybe put a bit more thought into that just than right now, but I will still be farming, I'll still be in the ag industry for sure, and hopefully still be happy and healthy.
Yeah, that's the main thing. And you want to go for 20 years? Grandchildren?
Yeah, well, maybe. I just had a daughter a month ago, so maybe not grandchildren in 20 years, but definitely a happy family and hopefully continuing our family farm. And
yeah,
it's hopefully that the ag industry and farming is something that gets into you, and I was born into it, so I think it'll be safe to say I'll still be in that industry in 20 years. So
you're a good spokesperson for it. You might get a little chuckle out of this before we wrap up. Since a lot of the people in agriculture are actually from farm families, it's quite unique to meet some of our fellow farmers and people who are not farm kids. Yep. And their story is profoundly unique because they come at it from another perspective and can see things. And I always enjoy talking to those type of people at Agriculture Shoe. How did you as a kid from the middle of Toronto in marketing ever end up in a farm business?
It takes all kinds of kinds and different perspectives, yeah, and different opinions is what makes for a good business. A very one-way street doesn't always turn out well. So.
No, that's for sure. Adam, thanks so much for sitting down with us today. We're sitting with Adam Parker here at the Outdoor Farm Show. He's been our guest and talk about agriculture. And with that, folks, we're going to play some more songs and a bit more music, and then we'll come back with another guest. And thanks for listening in today at CKMS Radio 102.7 on your radio dial. See you later.
Hi, this is Candace Wagner from Supperworks. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7. On the Rogers Digital Network at 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agriculture Show. The Agriculture Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agriculture Show is made possible by Community Radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi, this is Tim Lewis, jazz musician, piano player and singer. Just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy community radio. Community radio is the voice of us, playing local music, talking about local events. I love it so much, I even got my own show on community radio. So keep listening, and thanks for listening.
Well, folks, here we are at the Outdoor Farm Show in Woodstock, and it's September the 10th. Beautiful day, sitting with Greg Stewart here, and we're at the Mazex tent. They're sponsoring our show, giving us a little spot to sit down and plug into some hydro, and just lovely to have so many great guests come by. And Greg's our next guest. And Greg, I'd like to start off to get to know you a little bit. Music. Do you have a favorite genre or artist?
Hey, that's a good one. My sons say that I'm stuck in the 80s.
Yeah.
So every year we put together this little slideshow.
Yeah.
It's a slideshow of our family's activities for the year.
Yes.
Right? Which is kind of fun. We always play it on New Year's Eve. As the year exits, we play this little slideshow. It's a lot of fun to put together. And, of course, I usually sort of impose my musical tastes on what's going to be the music to go with the slides. And my son says, well, Dad, what happens when we run out of your tunes from the 80s, right? So I'm a little more of a Brian Adams, Bruce Springsteen sort of guy. So anyway, I guess it's not hard rock. It's sort of the softer rock.
But yeah.
I'm sort of that old style rock and roll.
Have you had a chance to go see some of these guys in concert?
Oh, heavens, I'm too cheap for that. No, but I do have satellite radio in my truck, so
excellent.
I can listen to them pretty much whenever I want to.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear that. It's always fun to hear what people's music interests are and what they like to do.
Yeah.
So maybe going to concerts will be a new hobby you'll
pick
up.
Well, I guess maybe it's one of those things that we should have on our bucket list, but yeah. I haven't got it there.
Where's your home at?
I live in Ingersoll, down the road here.
And how many people go to the Stewart family Christmas dinner? How big of a how big of a clan are you?
I have five kids.
Yeah.
So I have four boys and a girl.
Yeah.
So that's seven. I got two grandkids on the way. That'll put us to nine.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, I don't know, I got a pretty nice extended family, a few siblings of my own. And so we probably get to... We probably get to 35 or 40 when the Stewarts get together, yeah.
Oh, my God. Who's got a house big enough for all that crew?
Oh, well, we squeeze them in somewhere. If you get hungry enough, you can fit into a small house, no problem.
Good point. I hear that. Any traditions you like to do at Christmas? Are you all out skating on the pond? Or
we do a bit of skating.
We'll
cut
the tree down or something. Yeah.
I do force... well, that's a bit of a strong word, but that's what my kids would say. But I do watch It's a Wonderful Life on Christmas Eve every year.
That's a good
one. With my kids. So yeah. Jimmy Stewart and Greg Stewart get together once a year. We watch It's a Wonderful Life every Christmas Eve at about 8 o'clock at night.
That is a great tradition. I'm glad I asked that question. It's true. I think everyone's probably seen that and enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah, we like it. We almost have a game of it now that we've watched it so many times that during the course of a year, you know, I offer my kids, you know, well, I don't really pay them, but, you know, if you can come up with a line from It's a Wonderful Life in July, it's worth 50 cents to me.
You make a lot of fun. I'm glad you're doing this.
It's kind of nice.
So we're at the Mazex display here at the Outdoor Farm Show. Tell us your connection to Mazex. How did this happen on a beautiful day on Monday where two guys are sitting at the Mazex tent? What's your story?
So, you know, I always was sort of passionate about agriculture.
Yeah.
I always really was intrigued by sort of what we would call basic agronomy, how the plant and the soil interact, right? And that led me to work with the provincial government, OMAFRA, and I was there for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I woke up one morning and said, well, it's time maybe to move on. Didn't really want to change what I was doing, but I thought maybe it would be time to change who I was doing it for.
Right.
And so we left the government, and I had known Dave Bowdy. He used to come to some meetings that I would be at. I kind of liked his spirit, his innovation, and I used to look at Mazex and say, well, that's a little bit of a scrawny company that's in Ontario, but they've got some nice product, and they seem to have a nice image, and so, yeah. You know how those things happen. You wake up one morning and all of a sudden you've left the government and working for Mazex. And that was about 3.5 years ago.
My goodness. Well, that's a good question. I'm glad I asked that one because, you know, that's what keeps things invigorated, you personally and as well, and companies like Mazex to have people coming and going and for good reasons. And
That's
a good deal.
Yeah, change is good.
Yeah. So now that you're with Mazex, are you still playing your craft? Were you crop breeder with the...
No, I'm not on the genetic side. I'm not on the genetic side. More on the agronomy side, trying to figure out if you happen to get around to buying a Mazex a hybrid or soybean cultivar, what could we help you with, right? Soil fertility, planting patterns, planter types. I don't know. I get right down into what kind of closing wheels should you have on the back of your planter. So I'm more of the trying to put the agronomy side of it together. Can we give you some stuff that would make our Mazex varieties look better because we can help you with, hey, you got a low potash on that field, or you know, should you try this approach to this herbicide, or you know, things like that.
Mm. Well, that sounds like a very important thing for growers, that they do the best job they can. You got the skill to do that. I think our listeners are really fascinated by all those terms you just used, and if we had more time, we could probably cover them. Well, you know, it's just amazing. I have a farm, and people are fascinated by stories about just moment-to-moment stuff. What would you tell people about agriculture? If someone walked in off the street here, wasn't involved with the farm show, would you be able to correct them on whether or not brown cows give brown milk? Or, what would you tell people about agriculture?
You know, in simple terms, my years with the government, right? Many of my friends are non-farmers, right?
Yes.
We have quite a story to tell just about corn, right? Well, first off, you have to sort of get around the idea that we're not selling sweet corn. Sweet corn is a wonderful thing, and it's nice that we have decent acreage in Ontario to keep people happy on the sweet corn front. But then you sort of expand their vision as to, you know, almost all the corn you see when you're driving around the countryside is for other uses. And then you can say, well, what other uses is there but eating it, right?
Right.
And I say, well, you know, I have to feed livestock, so you have milk and and poultry, and then, you know, we can make ethanol out of it, and sugars and starches and sweeteners, and anyway, it's just sort of a, it's sort of a fun story that most people, even though corn is such a obvious, you know, relatively ubiquitous thing,
right,
most people really need a bit of a tune-up,
yep,
that are from not from agriculture as to where corn is at today. And then if they're still listening to
sounds
me,
sounds like a great idea.
If they're still, yep, listening to me after, yep, I talk to them about that, then, you know, might, we might talk a little bit about the improvements that have happened in corn production, you know, which are really massive,
yep,
what we can produce on an acre. And in some cases, there's that, there's that oh, sort of misunderstanding that that maybe is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, well, you're, you know, how could it be a good thing to produce, you know, to have our production so high?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, well, if you didn't have production that had gone up four times what it is today, you'd have been trying to farm four times the acres,
mm-hmm,
right? Wherever those acres are. And so, yeah, there's some real fun things to talk about in terms of, even if you just talk about,
right,
where corn fits in today's society.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that makes me think. I wonder what it'll be in these fields that we're sitting in another 10 years. Like, what will we see out there in that little bit of soybean stuff? Like, bigger plants? What? Any ideas what we can look forward to in the crop breeding and our typical stuff here? I guess the CRISPR technology is the next newest thing that's come along.
Yeah, yeah. So I think those changes are often gradual and happen gradually enough,
right,
that you don't sort of you know, stop the clock to embrace them. But yeah, I see lots of improvements on the genetic side, and they'll come maybe relatively gradually, right?
But so, like, I think the average increase in yield in Ontario is like more or less relatively 1% per year on corn or something.
Yeah, so we do,
you know, just this nice slow incremental.
Yeah, we do about 2 bushels per acre per year, right?
Okay,
and so, you know, and that sounds easy.
Yeah.
But when you think back, well, even when I, you know, first started in 98, right? So, you know, what's that, 20 years ago,
yep,
right? You know, when you look at where we're at in terms of yield improvement, it's a bit of a game changer, really, when you think about it. We, you know, we used to be sort of excited when we got a 200 bushel yield, right? Now we only really get excited if it gets to 300.
Yeah, I know. We're like on a treadmill. What's going on?
Yeah.
We just keep running and running.
Yeah.
So, it sounds like you've had a lot of fun in your career, and you're also now helping in with Mazex and,
yeah,
part of that big chain of people that brings food to the table indirectly, and
sure,
I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, you seem to enjoy bringing the news to people that it's not just sweet corn, and they stimulate their interest and talk some more about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's always, hey, you know, there's always a fit in anyone's life. You,
mm-hmm,
know, I mean, even you think, well, I have nothing to do with corn. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's just talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, because, oh, well, yeah, okay, I buy the odd can of sweet corn. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about what's in your fuel tank, or what's in your, you know, open up your kitchen cupboard, and we'll talk about, you know, how many things might have corn in them, right?
Yeah.
And they say, wow, I would have never thought about that.
Yeah, never thought about it.
Yeah.
Take it for granted like that.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun. I just got one last question for you, Greg. I want to know, what are you doing in the next 2 hours and 2 days? Yeah, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years you want to go that far. What are you doing the next 2 hours?
Oh, wow. I'm trying to talk to nice guys like you.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I you know, it's, you know, I don't know whether you get it from your mom or your dad or whatever, but I don't really mind standing out here all day long and talking,
yeah,
right? So that's kind of fun. You know, beyond that, you know, I'm sort of excited about our little Mazex company that is now growing,
mm-hmm,
and has got a bigger footprint, and that's kind of fun to be in the game against multinationals.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy that that intrigue, right? And that I still, most days, still get fascinated by simple things like, you know, how do I get the soil and the plant to interact more efficiently? And, yeah, after that, I got 5 kids. I got a beautiful wife. I go to church. Life is pretty good. I got nothing. I live without a doubt is the best country in the world. And so, yeah, I'm I'm a pretty lucky guy.
So something just twigged in my brain about something. What do you have some other interesting things you do that you wouldn't mind promoting right now? You're busy with your church, right?
I spend a fair bit of time with my church. Yeah.
So what kind of things are?
What's going through my brain on that front?
Yeah, yeah.
Talking to your kids.
Right.
You know, I have not been always the best at talking to my kids. I've read this really interesting book that talks about how you should talk to your kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a bit of a, well, we used to joke, when it was time to leave, right, get your kids in the van. And so I could say, get in the van. I could say, get in the van more faster and louder. And so eventually my kids succumbed to getting in the van. And as I've thought about that, as I've sort of matured and thought about my kids, I say, you know, I could do a lot better than that in how we talk to our kids.
Right.
More inviting, more interesting, more colorful, more asking them how they feel about getting in the van.
Right,
and I'm sure some people roll their eyes and say, oh, yeah. But there is something to how we entreat our children to feel like they're adults and important to us and that we value what they're thinking. And even in my church setting, you know, and I try to teach my kids how to act, but much more important is they need to see and feel that idea, how to live a life, works, right? That your kids need to feel that the way you're living your life actually works for you, and that they might embrace that. And so, yeah, I'm trying to, in the next 2 years or 20 years, I'm trying to speak more positive, more affirmation, more connectivity to my kids, my grandkids, and anyone else that comes along.
See, I'm glad that thought crossed my mind, because when I anticipation of today's show, I suggested to the organizer, Steve Denise, you know, I'm sure everybody has a really cool thing they're doing.
Yeah.
And I turned to kind of mind that you've got some interesting thing you're doing beyond your job and so on, and I'm glad it came to mind.
And glad you asked.
As part of what you're doing in your life, do you have a chance to speak to this, or how are you manifesting this this passion for getting discussion going with people? How are you doing that?
In my own little circles, I teach some Sunday school classes, and you know, I have some nice chance to go on camping trips with the youth from our church group.
All right,
You know, you know, it's one of those things where you just sort of keep your eyes open and try to learn and you know, improve a little bit. It's sort of been one of those flashbacks. My kids are all pretty much grown now. My youngest is in grade 12, and you have some of those interesting feelings of wishing that you could shrink your kids back to their 5 years old so you could hug them again.
Yeah,
right.
Great.
And so, yeah, those kind of thoughts run through my head. And when I get a chance, I encourage people to not let those golden years when your kids are 2 or 5 or 15 to really connect with them and hug them.
Yeah. Good advice. And I'm glad that you have a chance to speak to those values. And that's a good deal. And hopefully our listeners will enjoy your story and take some comfort and some guidance from that. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, I wish I had it all figured out, but she's a lifelong journey, right?
I hear you. Well, with that, Greg, thanks so much for being a guest today on the Agriculture Show, and good luck with what you're doing. And with that, folks, we'll see you in a few short minutes. We're going to play a few songs. We're going to do some other promos. And we're back for the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio, 102.7, radiowaterloo.ca. See you shortly.
Hi, this is Greg Stewart. I'm from Mazek Seeds. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We are live streaming on the FM band at 102.7, on the Rogers Digital Network at 946, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You are listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by community radio. The WFA represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society.
Hi, I'm Tom Woodcock, planning ecologist at the Rare Charitable Research Reserve in Cambridge. Sound FM and the Agriculture Show are helping us promote responsible land management in the region of Waterloo and beyond. Please join us in supporting community radio, and together we can turn the map green.
The Outdoor Farm Show in Woodstock, and we're being hosted today, the Agriculture Show, by MazeX Seeds. And it's turned into a lovely afternoon. The sun is out now. Started up pretty cool and wet this morning.
Yes, Emily. Yeah, it was quite cool. I'm surprised the sun came out.
I'm sitting with Lee Hudson, and to start off with, I'd like to get to know our guests a little bit, your listeners. And Lee, what kind of music do you like? Are you a concert goer? What kind of music do you like?
Oh, I am quite a mixture, but I'd say country music is probably my number one. I grew up with a classic rock lover, so my dad was a pretty big influence, or is a big influence on that, so I like pretty well most music, but... And I like fiddle music, too. Okay.
What kind of music?
Fiddle.
Fiddle?
Yeah. Oh, I actually tried making it growing, or not growing, tried playing the fiddle once. That was a very short-lived hobby, but, but I like that music, too.
Yeah. Are you a concert goer? Do you like to go and see music once in a while?
Yeah. No, I've been to multiple concerts throughout my life so far. Highlights, probably Garth Brooks. Went and saw him twice, actually.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. Where was that at? Do you remember?
Buffalo and Hamilton.
Okay.
Yeah, we went to Buffalo first, a bunch of girls and I, because we thought he wasn't going to come to Canada, so we went to Buffalo, and then he came to Canada, so we might well, got to do it again, right?
Let's go again, yeah. That'd be a fun night out, my goodness. Any chance to still, the other passion, the fiddle music, is there anything else going on in the area that you like to check in on that, 4-H clubs or something, or local fairs, do they do much fiddle music anymore?
Yeah, but I don't go to my I have, like, CDs and stuff like that I listen to, but,
the
ladies and stuff.
It's part of your experience, and you never know, life's a long time, you might be knocking around with that again.
Yeah, maybe.
That's good. Let's get to know you a bit more. How many people sit around the Christmas table at the Hudson family Christmas dinner? The feast.
Well, I have two sisters, so there's three of us, and my parents, but then my dad is four siblings, so... We usually have about 30 or so minimum at our Christmases, and then my mom's from Nova Scotia, and she's from a smaller family, so she's got a brother and a sister, and her brother lives in BC, and her sister lives in Nova Scotia, so we don't usually celebrate holidays with her side, but usually it's pretty big on the Hudson side, so we're all around, pretty local around the Ottawa area, and then... I have a boyfriend as well, so he shows up sometimes with those things, and then my sister's getting married in October, actually, so...
You're going to have a bigger house pretty soon.
Yeah, so we got lots of people, yeah.
Any traditions? Do you go skating on the canal in Ottawa by any chance?
Yeah, maybe once a year. It's not a...
That'd be fun.
I curl in the wintertime, lots of winter sports, play broomball, soccer... Yeah, I play sports. My dad's a big football fan. Sometimes go to Red Blacks games.
Yep.
Usually go to a hockey game once a year. Usually. I like watching sports. So that's usually pretty fun.
And tell us, what do you do? We're in Woodstock, and then we're in the... It's being hosted here today by MazeX Seeds. What do you do?
I'm a territory manager for MazeX. So I run from Kingston to Cornwall and Upton to Renfrew County and into Shawville. And I service the dealers in that area, as well as customer support and just overall business and agronomy support from my dealers and selling product as well. So everything that goes along with that. So I do have like 13 plots this year throughout my territory and service customers and my dealers to the best ability. So they sell our product.
Oh, sounds like you're busy. Your territory is Eastern Ontario, and so you're down in Woodstock. I'm sure you don't get down here too often.
No, I came down last night.
Yes. Took the big drive through the big city.
Yeah, it's 5 hours for me to get here.
Well, it sounds like you're pretty busy, I must say. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
do you have any other things you do? Do you have any hobbies right now that you're messing around with? Any passions or interests?
Well, I do work at home. I'm from a 200 sow fair to finish. We have about 1,100 acres or so, and we also do produce as well. So we grow about 45 acres of sweet corn, And then other vegetables, so potatoes, green yellow beans, beets, things like that. And mm-hmm. we sell them all via our roadside stand. So I do that through the month of August when I'm not working at Mazex.
Yep.
And I also help out my boyfriend's a dairy farmer, so I help out on his farm as well. So I like doing that stuff too. And I also help lead 4-H clubs. I help lead two 4-H clubs in the West Carleton area this year.
Wow. This is a good segue to the next part of the next question I have, which is, what do you know about agriculture? And, you know, you would probably hear all that you would tell someone. And the reason I think it's a great fit is because you're certainly talking to the public frequently as a market gardener.
Yes.
So what kind of things do you tell people at agriculture that, you know, based on their questions, the things you know, what would you tell someone about agriculture if they just said, hey, Lee, what's up out there? What are you guys doing?
That's a very loaded question.
I know. And I'm trying to make it broad so you don't forget about anything. But for fun, I'll start off and say, like, has anybody ever asked you whether only white chickens give white eggs?
No, I've never got that question.
But questions like that.
But yeah, no. The main questions we get are usually related to GMOs, chemical pesticide use, are we local? That's a very common question. More and more. More than I'd say before. That's where are we located? We're about 10 minutes away from the market that we go to. So, mm-hmm. In addition to the stands that we run. So that is a pretty big question now is if it's local. And people just want to know who and where it's being produced. But some just basic things like storing corn to make it, keep it fresh. Like mm-hmm. people don't, they just think it shows up and they eat it and that's it. And it's like, we've had comments like, oh, I don't want flies on my corn, or like just things like country people don't really think about. And they want it grocery quality at a roadside stand. And it's, I guess that's what it should be, but it's also,
yeah,
it's just an interesting,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Thought it's, now.
Yeah,
is,
you have a sense of where the public is at.
Yeah.
People aren't directly involved in agriculture. Where their sensitivities are, where their concerns are.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're always worried about bugs, like worms. Like, mm-hmm. And then GMO question, of course, is always something. Mm-hmm. I find it's not as prevalent as it used to be. But people just want cheap food. Still, it still comes down to price.
So when you're talking to people, and you've taken the time to explain something to them, have you ever had the pleasure of having that aha moment? You can see the light bulbs go on and they finally get it.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had that satisfaction? Tell us a story about like that, where you've had a chance to explain to somebody about something they were really confused about, for instance, and you were able to help them clear up.
Yeah, so when we sell our sweet corn at the market, it says sweet corn, and then we have the price under it, and then we give them the variety, and it'll say Honey Select is a very popular variety we have. And then they go, I want the sweet one. I want the sweet corn.
Right.
So the thought, they don't know that sweet corn is people corn. And that's just a basic thing that you would think everyone would understand, but a lot of people don't know that.
Yes.
So the very common way that I explain it is just, well, you know, this is Apple and this is Macintosh. And
right.
9 out of 10 times they understand it, but there is the odd person that still doesn't understand, oh, I want the sweet corn. Well, you are getting sweet corn. It's just, it's interesting. And I don't know how else way to explain it to them, because that's what it is. But
you got to write a book about
just basic things like that.
You'll have to write a book about interesting ways and fun ways to just illustrate the basic ideas. That's a good one, you know. Sweet corn is the corn, what apples are the Macintosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was just, that seems to be a very common one, as well as just basic storage.
Yeah.
How a plant works, they don't really think about it. They just think, okay, I buy it with the husk on. I must mean it should stay like that. Whereas if you take it off, it'll store better. So then you explain that to them. They're like, oh, well, I never knew that. Like, you know, just, that's very common. Those are two probably the most common questions.
Yeah.
If there are explanations you have to give when we're there.
That's pretty satisfying to be able to explain something to somebody and see them learn something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is some people out there that they already have an opinion on, like,
sure.
things. and they don't really care what you have to say, but they still want to hear what you explain to them. And,
yeah.
But most people appreciate the education, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's a good story. I'm glad. You know, you're in a special spot compared to a lot of commercial operators. Agriculture is a huge... agriculture is just really big. There's so many specialized operations and market operations, and yours is a special situation where you've got your feet in both worlds as a production farmer, but also as a meeting the public with a roadside stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're both, like, also being in pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Is a whole other thing because we have all the other pressures on the animal welfare side,
right.
And people don't understand why some of those tools are being used. So mm-hmm. once you actually take them there and you show them why we're using dry sow stalls or mm-hmm. gestation stalls or whatever you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
Once you explain it to them and they understand, oh, okay, well, and if she wants to be in there, like, I don't know, that's a whole other segment, really. But,
yeah.
But it's just once they actually see it, it's kind of a different different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's you have a especially unique spot in the scheme of things, that's for sure. You have your feet in both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're doing pretty good here. We talked about your music, we talked about what you do with Mazex, and your experiences with talking to the public, all good stuff. You're maybe going to get back to fiddle music, or maybe not.
No.
And with farmers, the weather is a big deal, and our public may not know that as much. So tell us about what the season has been like down in eastern Ontario, and then you can talk about how the fruit and vegetables went, and you can talk about how the field crops grow. Anything you want to pass along about the weather and how it's important in your. Just take this year for example. What happened down in eastern Ontario in the weather this year for crop growing?
Well, we had a nice start off in the spring. It's probably one of the smoothest springs I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Got in good time. Most of the ground worked pretty nice. It was a little bit lumpy in some places, but overall it was pretty good. So we had a good start, and then we had a very dry...
Yeah.
Couple months, and it was very spotty. Like, some areas didn't get rain for 2 months, some areas didn't get rain for a month, but it was very, very sporadic. And if we didn't have rain the third week of July, it would have been a very sad summer. So we're very, very relieved that we got that rain there. We got anywhere from 4 inches to 6.5 inches.
Oh my gosh!
In that third week of July.
Wow, you guys got dumped on.
Well, we kind of needed that, and it was over about a week span.
Yeah.
There was one day where most areas got a few inches, at least. But it was. I'd say the main word I would describe this spring was variability. This growing season is just variability because the moisture was very variable.
Yeah.
I think the lowest to the highest counts I did in the yield tour was anywhere from 97 bushel to 250 bushel. Now,
wow.
Those aren't, who knows what those actually will come up to be, because
yeah,
it's a bit of
sure.
a
right.
Guessing game in a way.
Yep.
But that just shows the variability in soil type along with the moisture that we had. And every field had it as well. Like, every field was hurting from moisture unless they were growing a longer day hybrid for their season. So if it was a full season hybrid,
yeah,
in a, I don't know, we were ahead in heat units, so we really took advantage of that, and the flowering was typically a little bit later as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If it wasn't flowering before that raining spell, it's looking very nice.
Yes.
But anything that flowered before is not looking so hot, so
yeah.
But that's corn, and then soybeans, they're looking pretty good, I'd say, across the board. I don't think we're going to have a bumper crop, but I think we'll probably be average, so, which is pretty good, I think, as well, considering. There was a lot of later flowering happening after that rain we got again. Like, if we hadn't got that, a lot of flowers were aborting on the shorter day beans. But we did have some row filling and issues as well, because, again, it was too dry, so the rows didn't fill in the same way. So there is some weed issues in a lot of bean fields that are 30-inch row beans, but
yes.
Other than that, it's pretty good. The wheat wasn't that good.
just too dry.
Overall, it's just
time.
Too dry and yeah. too wet. It wasn't too, it was too dry and too hot at the same time. Like
yes.
we had temperatures at about 43, 44 degrees.
Oh yeah, you had a real hot spell down there, didn't you, for a while?
We had multiple hot right. spells.
Yeah, yeah.
We had one the first week of July. Another one at the end of July. We've had a few hot spells like that. So it affected everything, obviously, but yeah, the spring grains and the winter grains were... We don't have a lot of winter wheat in the first place. And there was about 10,000 acres, I think AgriCorp said, east of Toronto before the spring began. So that's a lot for us. And so it was a disappointing year for that stuff. But mm-hmm. can't win everything, I guess.
No,
we've had it pretty good lately, so...
Well, I just have one more question for you before we wrap up this segment. And I'd like to ask the guest, what are you doing next 2 hours, and 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years if you want to go out that far? What are you doing next 2 hours and 2 days?
Next 2 hours, I'll be working here at the farm show. And, yeah, it's 2:30, so I'll still be at the farm show. And tomorrow, I'll be driving back to Ottawa because I... Actually, it's my boyfriend's birthday. He's turning 30 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to get other stuff ready for the plots. I'm taking some silage plots off this week because some silage has started in the east. There's people that have run out of feed, and
mm-hmm.
and the silage is ready in a lot of the cases. So anyone that's in a bunker silo, can a lot of people are an ideal moistures for
right,
that.
Right, right.
So, yeah, and then what else am I doing?
2 months, 2 years? Do we get that far?
2 months. 2 months, it'll be November, so
yep.
actually it'll be my birthday in about 2 months.
Oh boy.
And to be almost to the day, but yeah, and I'll be selling, it'll be busy for us because we'll be selling seed and stuff like that and combining and all that as well. And yeah, but two years.
A lot can change, kind of.
Yeah, thing. And I'll probably still be doing the same thing.
Right.
Probably farming a little more, and hopefully I'll carry on with my life a little bit. So, yeah, I'll be that in 20 years. Who knows where I'll be in 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll have hopefully some kids running around or something.
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah. Well, it looks like the future looks bright, and thanks for taking time to talk with us today, Lee, about agriculture and the public and all that kind of good stuff. And,
yeah.
And with that, folks, we'll wrap up this segment, and we'll play a few more songs and a few things, and listen to the Agriculture Show here at CKMS Radio 102.7 and RadioWaterloo.ca. See you in a short bit. Bye for now.
Okay, hi. This is Tony McQuail from Lucknow, Ontario. This is CKMS Radio Waterloo. We're live streaming on the FM band at 102.7 on the Rogers Digital Network at 9:46, on the internet at radiowaterloo.ca, and on Facebook Live Video. Catch podcasts of past shows and visit our supporters page at radiowaterloo.ca. Community radio broadcasts and promotes local news and entertainment through the spoken word and music. You're listening to The Agricultural Show. The Agricultural Show is supported by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Agricultural Show is made possible by Community Radio. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Their goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the policy needs of society. And as a farmer who's been a member of both the Federation of Agriculture and the Farmers Union and a great friend of the Christian Farmers Federation, all these organizations working for farmers is a really important part of our community.
Hi, I'm Tom Woodcock, planning ecologist at the Rare Charitable Research Reserve in Cambridge. We work tirelessly to improve and conserve land in the region of Waterloo. Please join us in supporting community radio and help Rare turn the map green.
All right, folks, we're at the Agriculture Show here, and we are today live from the Outdoor Farm Show in Woodstock, and today we're being, Mazak Seeds is giving us a little spot to set up our portable studio. Got some great guests that come through, and Kirk Vanwell has sat down. Have I said that right, Kirk
yes.
Vanwell?
Yep.
Okay. And Kirk, tell us about yourself. Let's first of all, what kind of music do you like? Are you a country and western guy? What kind of music do you listen to on your own music collection?
Well, we got a lot of country in that collection, actually. But I got two daughters at home, so we got the whole Frozen and the Disney thing going on too. So it's a mixture of those two in the car is how we roll.
All right. Do you have a chance to get out and go to concerts? Are you like to head out to the big city or a local bar or something and listen to live music?
Yes, we haven't got there any time lately, obviously, with two little kids at home. But
yep.
That's been our thing, whether it be at the Western Fair or a few other spots.
Okay.
For sure, take in some local talent.
Yeah. And where is home? Western Fair, that means you're in the London area?
London area, yeah.
What do you call home?
Home's Ilderton, Ontario, Coldstream, a little town just south of Ilderton. That's home here today, and we've enjoyed it down there.
And how many people go to the Van Will family Christmas dinner? How many souls besides your two little girls?
Yeah, so I got a brother and two sisters, and they got their little family, so there's grandma and grandpa are usually pretty busy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is the house big enough to hold everybody?
No. No, so we've outgrown that.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you could tell us those stories. And today, of course, we're at the Mazex display at the Outdoor Farm Show. And tell us, what do you do? You're obviously an employee of Mazex. In what capacity are you doing or working with Mazex?
Yeah, so I'm a territory manager, would be the official title.
Yeah.
For Lambton County, and then part of Middlesex County, and then Huron and Perth County as well.
Mm-hmm.
So fairly big geography, kind of Clinton down across over the lake, down to Sarnia, maybe halfway to Wallaceburg, and then back over towards London.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what kind of things you have to do in your job? What do you need to...
So I've got a territory manager, basically looking after a bunch of our dealer network. So there's eight dealers that work underneath myself.
No, you got a lot of people to look after.
Yes, so a few people.
Holy doodle.
Yeah. It keeps us busy.
Yeah.
And then I also know a lot of farmers in the Lambton area. That's kind of where I spent a lot of years in a previous job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know quite a few farmers there and help them out consulting and mm-hmm. talking through the business.
So you're busy, and no time for any other hobbies right now. You have two little girls. You don't have time to be taking up Ironman running or something.
No, so we're not doing any of those things, but we managed to find time to get to the rink.
Yeah.
I got two girls in hockey, and so that takes a good chunk of the weekend, but it's all fun. They're young once, and that's it, right?
So
we make time for those things. Yeah.
Good story. It's good. I like that. This is the Agriculture Show, and we'd like to bring our message about agriculture to our urban listeners because most people really are interested in agriculture, but they're just fascinated by just the day to day stuff. But what would your message be to, like, someone walked in off the street right now and said, Kirk, what do you know about agriculture? What would you tell them?
So agriculture, I mean, the farmers that we work with today, great stewards of the land. Of course, the urban side of the business maybe doesn't see these things as much, but the great stewards of the land and their vision is protecting that land and helping that land for future generations. And they do a lot of things in behind the scenes to help those kind of goals to be accomplished, right? And so there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but in the big picture, they're stewards of the land. They do a great job, and they're really trying to promote the health of our food system. So here in Canada, we're blessed with a very sound, safe food system that many in the world are not.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of first and foremost. Second is a lot of the technology that we're using is technology that most of us use on everyday occurrences. Little things like, so in our corn breeding programs, we use certain genes in terms of helping the plant protect against bugs. So BT, for example. And some of those gene or those bacterium are found just locally in the soil.
Right.
I mean, we walk on them every day. If you're a gardener, you're walking on the BT stuff that we're involved mm-hmm. with, right? So it's just encouraging those things. And, making sure that everybody's aware of what we're doing.
I think our listener would be fascinated to know that, in order to use pesticides in Ontario, you have to have a permit. You take a course.
That's correct.
That protects the environment, protects the consumer.
Yep.
When you use fertilizer, you want to be careful because it's expensive. but also there's what's the latest one? The 4R program.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit what the 4Rs is as far as fertility?
Yeah. So the 4Rs is basically, you know, the concept of, you know, not overusing products. Obviously the environment and so on. Your crop can only take in so much.
Right time, right crop. What's the
right time, right crop, right place?
I should know that too. So, but let this get straight. What is it for?
So you're going to make me struggle now.
Oh, but, I didn't mean to do that. Yeah.
Right place, right product, the right time.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one I'll struggle on here today.
But I think you get the point. Too bad we're not up and out. That's okay. So there's a lot of effort put into on agriculture to do the right thing to the environment, not make it worse, make it better.
Yeah.
Be responsible stewards.
Yeah.
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 So, no, that's good, and I'm glad you had thought to mention that. You mentioned your experience and what you would tell people about agriculure. I guess anything else you want to bring? Inevitably, you want to talk about something else, perhaps. If anything has come to mind, we can certainly discuss that right now. If not, we can go to our last bit of our thing here. Anything else you want to pass along to listeners?
No, I just, I say no, but I guess yes is the answer.
Yeah, there's no type.
I'd encourage, anybody out there listening to, you know, if they see a farmer, take a minute to stop and ask a couple questions.
Yeah.
Almost every farmer that I've known will take the time to explain what they're doing help you through or help you learn a process, right?
Yeah,
so take the time to ask a question or two, and that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's good advice. Last question I have for you is more of a fun one just to wrap up, and that is, what are you doing the next 2 hours and 2 days and 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 20 years? You want to go that far? What are you doing the next 2 hours and 2 days?
So, yeah, the 2 hours story, well, here we're at the Outdoor Farm Show in Woodstock, and so we have both urban and farming communities merging, and we've got a lot of customers that are coming through, so we're here hosting tours, explaining what we're doing and our technologies and what we're up to. So that's the 2 hours story.
Mm-hmm.
When we leave here, you look at the next 2 weeks, farmers are going to be getting into harvest mode,
right.
And so preparing equipment and so on for them. For us, it'll be preparing our staff to handle the next conversation, which is seed ordering conversations.
Yeah.
Give us ourselves probably 4 to 6 weeks. We'll be in the seed ordering time.
And you got a bunch of test plots to do, I suspect.
Yeah, there'll be weigh wagons and test plots coming in, and farmers take the time to dissect the information and learn from it, and then we move forward again for next year, right?
Yeah.
And probably 80% or so of the seed business will be decided between, you know, now and January,
right,
which is a big step for our businesses,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And 2 months?
Yeah.
See, so, two years?
Yeah.
What are you doing next for next 2 years?
Yeah, so 2 years, of course, they reference the research and development pipelines.
Right.
So if you think about MazeX, we've got a lot of stuff in our pipelines, products, technologies, and so on that we're looking at and examining to see if they are, you know, economical for farmers to look at, as well as profitable at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it all comes down to. And then, developing those for the next 2 years, that takes 10 years for some of these products to come to fruition.
Yeah, there's a lot of testing and registration to do here.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be kind of the 2-year process with some of those. And our business here, we've just recently announced a joint venture with another company. So the next 2 years, obviously, that'll be a big focus for our teammates, or my teammates, and our team as we go forward.
Ah, it sounds like you have a full schedule. That's good.
Yeah, it's never a dull moment.
Well, with that, I'd like to thank you so much, Kirk, for coming in and sitting down with us today at the Agriculture Show. And with that, folks, we'll see you next week for more of the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 102.7. And if you eat this week, thank a farmer. And if you're a farmer, thank a consumer.
That's excellent. No, appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being a guest.
Thank you.
See you later, folks. Bye for now.